morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, today we're going to be talking a little bit about an event that's happening next week. We're going to touch upon the topic of pomegranates. There's an upcoming workshop that we're going to talk a little bit more about. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other things happening in the region. Of course, the farmer's market at Artovinos is no longer taking place.
Closed for the season.
Closed for the season. But there is still the farmer's market that's taking place at Mercado Mayapan. I believe that one is still ongoing to the end of the month. And also there's the Sunday growers market at the Mountain View Market in Las Cruces, which is on El Paseo Road. So there are still ways that some of our locals can still buy local produce and arts and crafts, etc. An event that's taking place in Mesilla is a composting workshop. And this is a pretty important topic, I think. Maybe we'll talk about composting a little bit later. But the Mesilla Valley Farm in Mesilla is going to be holding a composting workshop on November the 3rd. That's a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And you can learn how to use free or low-cost resources to supply your soil with nutrition, with beneficial microbes, organic matter. You'll actually learn how to build and maintain a compost heap to reap those benefits. It's only $15 if you're a member of the Mountain View Co-op, $20 if you're not, and the space is limited, so you might want to register early. You can call the radio station here for more information, or you can find the info at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page. And something happening this coming Tuesday, the 23rd, it's a feed and seed also at the Mountain View Market. It's the 23rd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. If you don't know how to save your seeds, learn how to do that. You'll also learn how to grow heirloom fruits and vegetables. You'll learn about planting, selection, harvesting, cleaning, storage. And if you do have any harvest, you might want to bring it along for a veggie show and tell. There's going to be some taste testing as well. So if you want to learn more about this Tuesday's feed and seed at the Mountain View Market in Las Cruces, call us here at the radio station or, again, go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about this effort to get more residents and more commercial growers to grow pomegranates in the region. And there's a great workshop happening a week from today, October the 27th, from 9 to noon. And tell us a little bit more about that workshop.
Sure. It's our AgriLife Extension workshop headed out by our agricultural agent, Dr. Jaime Iglesias. And what Dr. Iglesias is doing is working with small acreage growers to convert some marginal lands, if you will, which are lands that kind of have a little higher salt buildup where you wouldn't be an optimum place to put pecan trees. You can certainly put pomegranates in there. One of the benefits of having pomegranates in our area is they do tolerate our local climate, our soil conditions, as well as our watering schedule. We can certainly water them with brackish water or kind of salty water if we need to, especially growers that tap in from a well. And also, there's a lot of publicity nationally on the use of pomegranates. You see that name and that image kind of splashed in a lot of images and a lot of products, excuse me. So it's a really great place for us to also look at these alternative crops as opposed to our traditional agricultural crops that we grow in our region. For the horticulture program, there are a lot of small gardeners, backyard gardeners that do have some background with pomegranates. I certainly do. I have those in my backyard, and even with a minimal care, they do produce a lot of fruit. And that's just characteristic of the plant. So you're looking at, you know, even on the first year of transplanting, you would get some fruit on there. Of course, you want to make sure that you don't put all your efforts into producing fruit the first year. obviously, you want the plant to have a good structure as far as branching and roots to be able to take these fruits on their branches. Majority of those fruits weigh about a pound each. So it's pretty heavy. So you want to make sure that you really get your seedling in there and established with some nice branches.
Yeah, my grandmother used to have a pomegranate tree, and I remember, you know, getting the black stains on your fingers from peeling the pomegranates.
You know, they're really fun to eat, especially for kids.
Yeah.
There's just so many different uses for them. They're being used for the fruit itself, for extracts, and they also are quite ornamental. So even if a gardener may not particularly want to consume a lot of pomegranates, they do have a nice, shiny, glossy leaves. They have year-round interest. The blooms in, you know, late spring, early summer are very attractive with those bright orange blooms, and they do attract a lot of wildlife. So I think it's an all-around good plant for our area, whether it's ornamental or for production. So I really am excited about this workshop coming up.
And that's, again, taking place on October 27th, 9 to noon. That's a week from today at the Ascarata Park Community Garden, which is great because if it was at the AgriLife Center, it'd be way over on the east side. So it's really nice you're taking advantage of Ascarata there. That's at the 6900 Delta. And there's a registration fee. It's only $15, but you learn about the history of pomegranates, how they adapt to the climate, how to use a different cultivars, different uses, the economics behind pomegranates. And wouldn't it be great now that we know that, you know, pomegranates are, like you were saying before the show, it's a really sexy fruit.
Yeah.
It's really hot right now. And if El Paso and this whole southwestern region could become a hub of that and really get, you know, some economic benefits from that, that would be fantastic.
Right, exactly. It's great to be able to live in an area where we do have that flexibility or diversity to really carry other crops and what we look at besides the non-traditional ones. So I think it's a really great workshop, and I'm really proud to be involved in that.
Well, irrigation-wise also, I mean, pecans have been traditionally known as a big crop here in the Southwest. And unfortunately, pecan trees require so much water. And then when a bad weather hits or a drought strikes, the pecan crop will suffer as well. But with pomegranates, like you were saying, often with minimal care, you're still going to get a lot of production. So imagine if you were just to give a little bit of extra care, perhaps not as much as you would give a pecan, but if you were to give it to a pomegranate tree, the benefits that that would produce.
Right, exactly. When we're always looking at the growing season, we always look at water. And two components to that is water quality and water quality. So with that, we do know that pecans are somewhat sensitive to salt water. So that's where the water quality comes into play. And like I said, with the pomegranates, they are able to withstand salty water more so than other crops. I'm not saying, you know, we're going to convert the valley, but it's just an alternative crop, you know, something where you wouldn't want to put in your other high cash value crop on. Be a great area for pomegranates.
And it's not really a tree that has to be planted in a particular kind of soil, right? It's a very flexible tree.
It is very flexible. It does like good drainage, but which plant doesn't? But it does withstand our alkaline soils. So that's another great bonus for that as well. But
it's not very big either. So even if you've got a small little gardening spot or you're looking for maybe a nice patio tree, they're really not that big and they're really pretty.
Exactly. They do like full sun though. That's the one thing. They won't fruit unless they have the full sun. So you'll get a nice plant, but no fruit.
We'll learn more about that. Again, the pomegranates happening next week, the 27th at the Ascarate Park Community Garden, a great workshop that Denise is going to be involved in. And we're going to try to get Dr. Iglesias in here in the studio to talk a little bit more about pomegranates. That should be great.
Most definitely, yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about composting.
Yeah.
What we were talking about, that workshop is going to be taking place in November. What is, you know, a really good way to get started with composting, or at least explain the benefits of composting before we find out what we can do about it?
Right, exactly. And all that we're doing with composting is we're getting any materials that were once alive, whether those are grass clippings, banana peels, or even coffee grinds, and be able to break those down. And what happens is the microorganisms come in along with water, time, temperature, and they break that down into what's called organic matter, and we are able to add that back into the soil. I think one of the advantages of living in El Paso is that you're already supplied with your trash service, your recyclables, and then your quote-unquote trash. Well, if you're already doing that process by separating your plastics into your blue bin, then you're left with which is the trash. And I would urge you to kind of look further into that, is what are those plant materials that you can use and further take that out. And you would be surprised really on how much you can reduce your actual basic trash that's going straight to the landfill if you really look at composting. And it can be as intensive as you like for it to be. There's a lot of products out there that you can purchase. There's some in the, you know, black cylinders that you can buy, and it, you know, kind of rotate it X number of times, and then boom, you got compost. Or you can really look at a slower approach where you're building a very small area, a small bin to hold in your waste. Of course, with our upcoming dormant season, we're going to have a lot of materials that we're going to prune back or trim. So that's really what we're looking for in our carbon sources with our dry brown materials, if you will. So I think that's a great timely workshop that those folks are putting on with looking at composting in our area.
So can you use, I know we can use grass clippings and stuff, but like if you're pruning a tree, can you use those branches or would it be better to break them up into pieces?
You would definitely need to break them up into pieces, and that goes with anything else. Even if you have a large rotting fruit that you're not going to use, it's easier. It just allows for all of these chemical reactions to occur when the smaller pieces are smaller to begin with. So I would really recommend chipping those branches that you have and really breaking down your, as well as your leaf bundles that you're looking at.
Now, does it get kind of smelly? I mean, here we are thinking that, you know, you're going to throw, you know, your banana peels and your grass clippings. And, you know, if you leave grass clippings sitting around for too long, they start to develop an odor. And no doubt rotting fruit is going to,
yes,
you know, release some aroma. So how can you protect yourself and your neighbors?
Well, that's a great question to ask because just yesterday I was turning our compost bin with the youth gardeners at the Scott at the Park. And I said, okay, I want you guys to get started. And I said, okay, we're going to turn this compost bin. And I said, but first of all, tell me, does it smell like rotting fruit and rotting vegetables? And they said, no, ma'am. I said, good, because we're doing something right. And that's really the key. You do not want to have a container, an area in your yard that's going to smell like rotting waste. That's where it goes back into the ratio, the proper ratios to be able to put in there, whether it's carbon or nitrogen sources, having that balanced out as well. Then that way the microbes have a source of food, but then we keep that balance. That's going to keep down the noxious smells that we're, and reduce the amount of insects that we're also attracting to that area. You don't want a swarm of flies or maggot larvae, you know, because it would happen. So it's just, you have to be constantly looking at that and turning that and keeping it right temperatures and right moisture levels as well. And so there's a lot of different components that go into composting, but the easiest way is just look at it as an alternative way to reduce your waste.
Well, we're out of time for today's show. If you want to learn a little bit more about that pomegranate workshop, you can call the radio station here or go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Same goes for the composting workshop that's happening on November the 3rd at the Mesilla Valley Farm in Mesilla. And you can also learn more about the feed and seed event that's taking place in Las Cruces at the Mountain View Market on the 23rd, which is this coming Tuesday. Again, go to ktep.org and visit the Good to Grow page. You can also listen to some of our past shows on that page. And there are also some very helpful links if you're interested in gardening in the desert, whether you've been a lifelong resident or you're just new to the region. Again, thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.